Revelation chapter 4, verse number 4. This is the 44 of Paul's gospel to the Galatians. Now listen carefully. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, now listen, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Daddy, Father. The word Abba is the loving term for father. And it's more the word daddy in our vocabulary. Yes. I seldom called my daddy father. I always called him daddy. And the reason I did so is because I was convinced that he was my daddy. And I was convinced that he was a person. He was there to supply our needs. He was there to commune with us when we needed to be talked to. He was there to correct us when we needed to be corrected. Daddy was daddy. Now, Paul said that the Spirit of God sent to those that are the sons of God. You did see that qualification factor. We then that are the sons of God, God has sent His Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Christ is God's gift to a sinful, dying world. The Holy Ghost is Christ's gift to His church. Now listen to what I just said to you. Just as important, please, just as important as the coming of Christ into this world to save sinners is the coming of the Holy Ghost into the heart of those whom He has saved to both sanctify us and help us to have the power to carry on in a world that would sap us of our power every moment of every day. A few weeks ago now, we had a storm around here. You folks remember that, surely. And some folks over in the Gap Creek area between Hampton and Elizabethton were without power for about 13 days. Man, they were hollering and screaming and going on, raising Cain, doing all kind of things to try to get power. As a matter of fact, someone asked me to borrow my generator, but they never did come to get it, which is probably a good thing. Because I did make a stipulation that I wanted it back. Uh-oh. And all of that tomfoolery and all of that being upset because the power was off. And I thought, why don't we get that upset when there is no power in the church? Yes, sir. You see, we've had a power failure in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason we've had that power failure is not because the Holy Spirit has lost His power. Not because the Holy Ghost is not present. You see, our power's off for one evening, and then it came back on. So the power was there, but there was something wrong between those folks and the power source. Do you know why the church was out of power tonight? Something wrong. Something wrong. Last week we were crying for someone to find the handle. Someone pull the handle. Tonight we're going to cry, someone find the switch. Someone turn the switch on. Someone supply what's necessary for the power to come back into our church again. I was speaking to a young preacher just this week, and we were talking about the powerlessness of the church and how profound it is. And I said to him, I can well understand why folks don't go to church. Because if I went to church and that's all I had, is what I hear from most places. I wouldn't go either. I told him, I said, the only reason the fella he'd want to go today to most churches is to take a nap. Just get away from all the noise and just take a nap. Now, why is that so? Because the power is not present. Oh, that God would once again restore that power. Restore that power to this fellowship. Can you imagine? I've said this before, but can you imagine what God would do with this many people? Were the Spirit of God loosed in power to perform the task that He's here? The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person. Even though there is a place in our Scripture where Paul refers to the Spirit as itself. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 16. That word itself is the word ewas, and it literally means the other person. So when Paul is saying that, he is telling us of this other person. This other person of the Spirit of God. The Spirit, the other person. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? In light of what our brother said this morning in the message, and in light of this teaching tonight, we need to understand that the Spirit of God is a person. Now, what we've done, we've relegated Him to some kind of a figment of our imagination where He is just an abstract being, so to speak. But God doesn't deal in abstracts. Never has and never will. God deals in that is of a reality in every circumstance. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, God's gift to the church, the Spirit of the Son of God. Did you get the text? I think we miss that so often. We think of the Spirit being the third person of the Trinity, so to speak. And really that is not a good saying. For there is not a one, two, and three, but there is a one. And they are all co-equal. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It could have well be said, God the Holy Ghost, God the Son, God the Father. Or it could as well be said, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God the Father. You see, it could be said either way and still be the same thing. For there is no one, two, and three, so to speak. For God is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Ghost is God. He is the invisible person of the Godhead. And He is invisible because we have made Him invisible. It shouldn't be so. The power of the Holy Spirit within us makes Him visible to those about us. We like to be complimented. Even we macho fellows every once in a while like somebody to say, man, I like that. You're looking good today. We worry about those kind of things, but let me look up here. Whoa, think about this. How many of us have ever had someone say to us, I can feel the Spirit when you're in my presence? Or I can see the Spirit of God working within you. Oh, what a compliment. Oh, what we need to be craving for is someone to see that God is in us through the power of His Holy Ghost. We have decided that it is better to have all of these other compliments rather than what we should be hearing from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Even the world knows that there's a difference. You see, God places the Holy Ghost in us at the point of our redemption. Brother Gary said it this morning. We have as much of the Holy Ghost as we'll ever have the moment God saves us. But I say in repeating what he said, the Holy Ghost does not have all of us at that point. One of the greatest missionaries to ever walk the face of this earth, Dr. James Stewart, tells a story about how he was in Russia. It was then outside the bounds of Russia, but later Russia conquered it and it became a part of Russia. He was there in a meeting and God was blessing tremendously. And he said every night two ladies would come up to him and say, "Sir, we're praying for you." And after so many nights of this, he said, "Could I ask you why you're praying for me and you're not praying for the sinner?" They said, "Oh, sir, we're praying for you to get the power." He went home that night, couldn't sleep. The next morning, he went to find those ladies. He found them and he said, "Will you pray with me?" And they prayed together. Dr. Stewart left that prayer meeting, went back to his room. There in the loneliness of that room, the power of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Ghost, invaded his being. And from that moment, Dr. Stewart was a different man. Can I tell you that from the moment God in power, the Holy Ghost, moves within these vessels of clay, we are no longer powerless. Thank God. An old preacher friend of mine, now gone to glory, used to talk about plugging up. I think I realize more so today what he meant than ever before. Because somehow we've disconnected ourselves from the power source. And we're satisfied to be battery operated. You know what happens with the battery, don't you? And that's exactly what happens to you and me in the context. We're so prone to rely on battery power. I've said this for years. That's why we live in a world of mega churches. People are living on battery power. They got to go get recharged every Sunday morning. And they can go back and make it through the week and go back and get recharged next week. Oh, listen to me. God's people ought not be going back to get recharged, but they ought to be going back to worship the Holy Ghost of God, the power of God sent into our hearts, and the Spirit that shows us Jesus in every circumstances, and God the dear Father that allowed it all to be so. Now, there's nothing wrong with being encouraged when you go to the house of God. That's not what I'm saying. All of us need that encouragement, but we need to live beyond the battery power. We need to live from the source that never, never gets weak. As a matter of fact, it gets stronger. How about that? We do not know. Since the demise of some of the great men of days gone by, we never hear this anymore, stated thusly, "The Holy Ghost said for me to do this, do that, and the other." Do you know what we hear? We hear this little meekly weak statement like, "I feel led." Most dogs feel led. God's children don't need to be feel led. We need, by the grace of God, to know that the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said thus and so. The Holy Ghost said go there or do not go there. You see, the Holy Ghost not only tells us where to go, he tells us where not to. Some years ago, I was Dr. Percy Ray and two or three other preachers. Brother Percy never said, "I feel led." He said, "The Holy Ghost said." And as a young fellow, that troubled me as to how he could say,
the Holy Ghost said.
But now I delight in knowing exactly what He was saying. For we must come to the point in our lives when we know when God speaks. You see, the Holy Ghost does speak to us. Paul said it plainly to Timothy in what is 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the last days many shall depart so on from the faith. He says what He needs to say to our hearts. Has God ever awakened you in the night and had something to say to you? And I'm not talking about some of these wild things that people come up with. You see, the Holy Ghost will never contradict the written Word of God. Everything He tells you will line up directly with this book. If it doesn't, then you'll know another spirit's doing the talking. But you can be assured that it's the Holy Ghost when He lives inside you. Now let's step a bit further into this thing tonight. Let me say this to you. The Holy Ghost is not just a guest. I've had guests in my home that I didn't spend a lot of time with, didn't have a lot of conversation with them because I was busy doing something else. You say, well, God could do it anyway. Here is one place or you'll not find the Holy Ghost forcing you, but rather He's waiting for us to say, Lord, let Your Holy Ghost take over. So now He's not a guest. Now He is one who has come to live in your house. And now He's not a renter. He is an occupant. And He is an eternal occupant. He'll be there in the morning when you get up. Now, can I say to you that because He lives in us, we have that power available consistently. But we live like we have no power at all. We act like we have no power at all. We live as though we are defeated. Oh, I don't think I've ever in my lifetime seen so many defeated people who name the name of Christ. Why is that so? Folks, we are not defeated. God help us, we're on victory circle right now. The Holy Ghost lives in us. We have all the power we'll ever need. And yet we act as though we're out of gas. Now I realize our bodies get tired, but our spirit will never get tired. The Holy Ghost that lives within us, that person of the Godhead that has taken up His abode within us is there to both sanctify and make us victorious in this Christian walk. Yes. Do you realize that the devil cannot defeat you? Have you thought about that? Have you really let that enter into your mind and given it some time of calculation to realize, hey, the Holy Ghost lives in me. Satan cannot defeat me. As a matter of fact, Satan cannot touch you unless God allows it to be so. And if He does, then we still ought to shout the victory. Because even in that, it means that God knows we are. Do you remember the conversation between the devil and the Lord about the man named Job? Can you just get this into your mind that nothing ever happens to you of a sort that is brought on by the sinister world, unless there's been a conversation about you in heaven and God's allowed it to be so. And that means that God is going to use that to bring Himself glory and be beneficial where you're concerned. And out here, we're going to look back at it and say, glory to God. Though I went through that, God had designed it. God had allowed it. The Holy Ghost didn't leave you. He was there in the midst of all that to make you victorious. I love the book of Job because it is so profoundly after our natural lives. When we think about how Job reacted in many circumstances, but in many circumstances, you hear the Spirit of God speaking through him. As when he said, when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. That's not Job speaking. That's the Spirit of God within him speaking. Now, though that Old Testament saint did not have the Spirit of God indwelling him as we do, the Spirit came upon them for a season and then left them. By the way, that's where most people in this generation are still living. Most so-called Christian folks are still living in that Old Testament economy where the Holy Ghost is concerned. For what they're saying is, hey, he's here for a while and gone. He's here for a while and gone. No, he's here for a while and stays. He doesn't go away. One more time. When the Holy Ghost came into your heart, he stays there. His power is limited only by our surrender to him. Oh God, take these bodies. Take this old life. Completely control it. An automobile, in order to get from one place to the other, has to be controlled. Is that right? Now we have automobiles that drive themselves. One of them just killed a fellow the other day, as you recall. I'm afraid they'd probably be killing more of us if we haven't got any more sense than to buy one. Now, I flew probably thousands of hours with my autopilot on, just kind of sitting back, relaxing, and even taking a nap. But I was always conscious. When they called my number, I knew it right there. I hope you can get this little illustration. Because that autopilot reacted faster than I could. The autopilot actually kept it on course and at altitude even better than I could. When you realize that he's better at this than you are, he knows more about this than you do, and you just relax. God is not my co-pilot. God is my pilot. I refuse to take control. He is in control. I've noticed that when he's in control, I can relax much more so. Because my faith is in one who knows where to go and when to do it. God's Holy Ghost in the life of the believer. Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter. Brother Willie could tell us what comfort is. Recently, his wife just passed away Friday. We had her funeral. He could tell us what comfort is. We've all, somewhere in our lifetime, we've known the comfort of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about peace that you can't invent on your own. You can't conjure up the kind of peace that God gives. Appeal won't give you the peace you need in the time of sorrow. No, no, no. But the Holy Ghost just calms the whole situation. Now, where are we? We've determined that He is a person. We've determined that He is not a guest. But I want to say to you that just like the new birth is supernatural, when the Holy Ghost takes over in your life, it's a supernatural act of a sovereign God. You can live, be born again, stay in church all of your life, and go on to glory and never know what the power of the Holy Ghost is. Did you hear what I said? I said to you that saved people, good people, will go to heaven, never know what the Spirit of God can do in our lives. But you know what? I decided a long time ago, Brother Ed, that I didn't want to go to heaven just graduating from kindergarten. I want to go to glory, experiencing just as much as I can in this old flesh of the Holy Ghost power. I want to experience God in every turn, on every occasion. I want to experience God, and I want God to let me know what He can do and will do. Yeah. Yeah. Through this flesh, there's going to be some folks that get to glory and they're going to wonder what we're doing when we're shouting it out. Don't understand what's happening there. And it'll take them a while to get caught up. Matter of fact, when we get there, I'm going to recommend that Brother Gary have that class to teach them, you know, how to get caught up here when the Holy Ghost comes in. As a person. Some time ago, I was speaking with a young man, and we were talking about how we should pray. Well, the scriptures are plain as to how we're to pray. We're to petition the Father in the name of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me just add a little thing for you. Would it be wrong for us to pray to the Spirit? I do. Constantly, I'm praying to the Spirit. Say, well, why are you doing that? Because I want to be on a first name relationship. I want to have a conversation over and over and over. I want to be friends. Friends commune with each other. Huh? And the better friends we are, the more we commune with each other. Nothing wrong with communing with the Holy Spirit. Now, I could give you the theological reason for that. Let me just give it to you quickly. I've already told you that the Holy Ghost is God. Right? He's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's as much God as Jesus is. He's as much God as the Father is. Hello? Then why would we leave Him out in the petition? Let me ask you this. Why would we leave Him out in our worship? We need to learn this little song. We sing it around here once in a while. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place, the song says. Let's rewrite that. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this heart. Amen. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this heart. Will you do this with me tonight? Will you bow your heads for just a moment? And will you just do this for me tonight? Will you, in a sincere tone, in a sincere heart, will you say, Holy Spirit, You're welcome in this heart. Holy Spirit, You're welcome in this heart. I don't want the Spirit to ever feel like He's not welcome. You shouldn't either. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this heart.